Okay, finally got it together. Yay! Yay!
Yay.
I'm slow but sure. Good evening, everybody. Finally got it. Oh, I can turn the video here.
And then this week the
There you
Saints
go.
were unmercenary. So I emailed Father. I'm like, "What's an unmercenary?" I'm
We'll
like,
talk about that.
"Okay."
Welcome, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
So, always we begin with Stump the Priest. So I know you had a
I do
question.
too.
And the question was, what's a wonder work?
Yeah.
So what you're talking about the ranks of saints
Right. So what's
or
how do you
classifications?
right? Because I was confused because this week two of them were unmercenaries. So I'm like, how does one?
Unmercenary or mercenary?
No, unmercenary is what it said in the Roe Corps bulletin. So two unmercenaries and then two wonder workers and
Okay, a
then.
wonder worker is a saint where he prays and there's a miracle. Wonder worker.
Oh,
Or
okay.
there's
Okay.
been known to have been miracles attributed to them. So
Okay.
it's a wonder worker.
Okay.
Mercenary, I've heard St. John the Merciful. I think that's an unmercenary. Mercy is to love, to
Right.
serve, to care for, to
Right.
be merciful. So St. John the Merciful, who we just celebrated, who I think you're referring to as one of the saints this past week,
Right.
Saint John the Merciful was an alms giver. He gave always.
Right.
Now, sometimes I think they call
This, I think, were two
the
brothers.
mercenary saints are like the doctors of silverless, who
Okay.
take no money for their good work. Those are saints.
Right.
I think that's the same thing. Father Jacob, do you want to correct me?
Yeah.
And
They
I'm
don't
not
take
sure.
money for their gifts. Mercenaries make money off what they do.
Oh, I see. Okay,
Yeah,
got
that's the
it.
third category.
Forget, I spent it. You know.
Wonder worker,
A wonder
unmercenary.
worker, an unmercenary, and something else. That's okay. I got it. I'm all clear now. So that's good.
Okay.
So a wonder worker is a saint.
Yeah.
It's just a
Well,
special
and see,
kind of
it's
saint.
good too. I talked about this last Sunday. And by the way, welcome, Matthew, and welcome, David. I talked about this last Sunday. I talked about Saint Mother Olga.
Right.
And Mother Olga, and what I said was the church does not make saints.
Right. Okay.
But or Matryoshka Olga, I didn't mean to say
Let's
Mother,
go. Okay.
Matryoshka Olga. The church does not make saints. They're saints. We just acknowledge what the Holy Spirit has done. In the West, you need two miracles and a letter from the Pope or something like that.
Got it.
And then the Pope officially says, yes, that person's a saint. The
Right.
Orthodox Church will even say that person's, Mother Teresa to me is a total saint, even though she went to the church. I
Right.
mean, she's a saint. We don't have to predict in her life, so we can't officially say anything, but
Right.
by all means, like St. John Maximovich was at Roe Corps. Saint GOCA, totally. I mean, one day a monk just put it in our rubrics book, and I remember Church Dimitri. The Holy Synod didn't bless that, but I guess it's there because everyone kind of acknowledged. And that's my thing
Right.
is when there's a veneration, I put a little note on Mother Olga in this week's bulletin.
Okay.
I'm have to edit it, but pretty much that's the same thing. You
Okay.
know, it's the Holy Spirit that revealed it to us.
Yeah.
Yes, Esau.
During Vespers, why don't we commemorate St. Nicholas?
I don't know. St. Nicholas is like the greatest of the bishop saints. And so he's an apostle, I guess, on some level. But Thursday is always the apostles, and they always add St. Nicholas to that, the wonder worker. Yes.
Where would one acquire holy water here? Because usually.
Father Jacob sells it. He's got
This kind
the.
Yeah, just put a little secret business on the side.
Barrel in this van?
Yeah, it's a barrel in this van. Yeah. He says, come here, little boy. Let me sell you some holy water.
Five kopecks for one.
I got my holy water this week.
So we have some in the altar. And if you just get the bottle to Father Jacob or myself, not tonight, maybe, or after,
Right.
but we'll be glad to fill it for you.
Okay.
So, yeah, we usually keep an extra few gallons around. So, yes, ma'am.
Speaking of holy water, what is
For you, $9.99.
the
That's not the catechumen.
Never thought a priest would ask me. I'm sorry, honey.
It's okay. What does one do with holy water? And I
Well,
don't get the
that's a
point.
good thing. So I'll have to, in fact, I'll talk a lot about this probably on the feast of Theophany. So we bless water on Theophany, which is baptism of our Lord. And the whole idea of our Lord descending into the water is one of the besides it being his baptism, the church sees it re-sanctification of creation. And the most basic element of creation is water. It's how much of the earth is covered with water. Your body's 97%. It's needed for life. So the church identifies, so the church takes in, so when the creation, the beginning of creation, when God said, and then it was water covered, and the Holy Spirit, so the water covered the face of the earth first, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit dwelt above the water. So mm-hmm. the water was pure and perfect, unaffected by sin. So when we bless water, we ask the Holy Spirit to come down in the water. In fact, the prayer is very similar to the prayer for the Eucharist. For us, you know, for then after us, the Holy Spirit come down upon us, and these gifts here set forth. We ask as thou then, I can't remember the exact words, but to sanctify this water, to return to the same spiritual state it was in before man affected with its sin. Mm-hmm. Okay, like climate change and things like that. You know, I remember I asked a dumb question. It wasn't a dumb question at the time, but in retrospect, it was. I said, Father, to my spiritual father, I said, how come there are hurricanes? I says, you know, how, you know, says the world's, you know, and he said to me, I wasn't Father Ted then, but he said, it says, very simple. He said, our sin is affected the cosmos. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea. So Christ recreates the cosmos too. So we take holy water and we take it to our homes. You know, our parish is pretty big, so I don't bless every home every year, but I'm invited. For the month of January, I put a note in the bulletin, and I bless homes for about 30 days. Those are $25 a shot. of course, nobody at the church.
Plus the $9.99 for the water.
Yeah. No, and I bless homes, and there's a special prayer. And so I do it. I try to do those who haven't had their homes either blessed in a long while or new to community and haven't had their own bless. Mm-hmm. Especially when people, and when people just move to town too, they'll always invite me over to bless the home. So I'll bless the home in that situation too. Mm-hmm. It's always a good thing. What it is, it's consecrating the home to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people get a new car, they ask the priest to bless it. Sometimes you can bless it yourself. I tell people, if you don't want the priest to come bless your home, you go bless your home. Because the prayer comes inside the service book once a year, because it's priesthood of all believers. There's no reason why you can't go around and bless it. My son Stephen, when he's a little boy, every night he would say his prayers, get in bed, and then go over his holy water bottle and anoint his head.
Oh, very sweet.
Yeah. So, and people do it all the time. Some people, when they don't feel good, they go sip the holy water and stuff like that.
You also bless the teachers at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, we use holy water. Is just, yeah, we use it all the time.
It was sitting right there on with the intiteron and the tipple.
Any other questions? I'm going to be very prompt tonight.
Yep, because the
compline. Especially for those online, Matthew and David, we have compline tonight. So I'll be bolting pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Why do we have compline during the Feast of the Nativity?
It's kind of a small T tradition in the United States and OCA parishes. Mm-hmm. It's St. Vladimir's. We did it every night during the fast.
Right.
And so we would do all our classwork. We would go to Vespers at, I think it was 5:00. And then you ate dinner and then you did your homework and everything else. And I think you went back to chapel, maybe 9:00 at night. Mm-hmm. And then you just ended the night in prayer, and you went back to your dorm or your apartment. I was married, so I went to my apartment.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just a beautiful way, and it was just it kind of helps you refocus. Mm-hmm. You know, it changed. And that's last week I talked about rhythm. Mm-hmm. It starts setting the rhythm for us, mm-hmm. even though it's just compline.
Right.
It's not specifically nativity oriented. It just sets the pace. Okay, we're at a different time, a special time.
Yep.
Okay. So we need it. Yes, ma'am.
And you're saying that it's the same prayers that like we do ourselves, like in our homes at night. So,
oh no, I didn't say a monastic in her cell. Oh, okay. So they're a little bit more, and they're just like, we're gonna pray. You know, we ask for St. Justin's, you know, basic prayers in Justin's. We ask for intercession, and I can't remember. We say the creed, and we ask that pretty much the devil don't bother us, so we can sleep well tonight.
So we still do our own personal.
This would be the monastic's last prayer for the day, and then he goes to his. You know what monastics sometimes sleep in? Their coffin.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? In memory of their death. Mm-hmm. So they won't forget that we live always in remembrance of their death. Okay, so if you open your liturgy book. Oh, where's my notes? Here we go.
That's up on page 17, I think.
Thank you.
That's the last note I have, so I'm guessing.
So for David and Matthew, let me see if I can open up and share for you guys the liturgy. Computer takes forever to be here. There it is. I'm going to scroll down and then if I could, can't. This mouse isn't cooperating too well. Really need to become techie. Why are you not working?
Do you have a touch screen?
The arrow. No, is this touch screen? The touch screen's not working. I think it is touch screen. I'm thinking of it. Oh, well.
Okay.
So, like, my pointer just goes places and then disappears.
Russian or Slavonic?
Okay.
So the church bulletin was Russian.
Share screen. I'm going to share this. Share. So I hope you guys can see that online. And now I just need to see if I can expand this.
What are Thursday night classes?
I don't. That was a long time ago.
Okay.
That was during COVID. Okay. All right. So last week I left off where we say, let me see. I ended last week with the Blessed Mount, I believe, Blessed Founders. No, I didn't say. Yeah, I did. And this is where we need to begin. So we pray for the Blessed Mount from a Founders Holy House. So that means we're also praying. So I said that this is a litany for supplication. It's a later addition to the liturgy. It's not done in Byzantine churches, but the most reason why on Sunday it's not is because it's done during Matins in the morning already. It's very different than the other. It's very, it's more us focused and more penitential in character. So last week I left with we pray for the Blessed Mother of the Founders Holy House, would mean the people who were here back in 1994. Really the word here should be temple. I think in Greek it's temple, the holy temple. And let me explain to you why sometimes the translations are a little bit off, because it went from Greek to Russian to English. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. So sometimes things get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So this holy temple, and for our fathers and brethren, the Orthodox who's departed slave for us, and typically we add names in, but it's not required. In fact, it's typically not. It's kind of a small custom to add names in. And that would be for the recently departed, who here, meaning here in the parish cemetery, mm-hmm. lie asleep in the Lord. And I think I mentioned last week, there's no real separation between living and dead. They're all surrounded. They're alive in Christ. Okay. And then we pray for mercy, life, peace, health, salvation, visitation for the servants of God. And this is the people. Now, I've been into little churches where there's 40 names here. I'm like, there's more names here than you hear on church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in a real church. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. at the beginning of church, we have proskuneo, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. people bring their names of sick loved ones. And that's where the priest commemorates. Mm-hmm. For your family, for your loved ones, mm-hmm. you know, special prayer for them. There's no doubt. But to go through 52 names, you mm-hmm. know, it's just because then, you know, where does it stop? It's just like for many years, you know, Father's been my great cousin, you know, five times removed. It's his birthday last week. And you think, no. Okay, we have to have, you know, you have to be here on Sunday. And I'm not, and we only do your birthday, we do anniversaries, graduations, significant life events. It's my namesake. If I did namesake, then it'd be like, you know, so many more. I mean, just my namesake was, you know, last week. And well, were you here praying? No, I was at work. So okay, why do we? Yeah, you know, it's just that's just it, there's a place where you have to put a thing to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we do pray here. We'll take the custom and we'll pray for people who are forgiven, expressed significantly sick.
Mm-hmm.
Most often, they're people with cancer, mm-hmm. Life threatening.
In hospital, right?
Okay, seriously ill, yeah. And they're members of the community or related to somebody in the community. Mm-hmm. And then we do mention somebody departed this life. It's usually a member of the community or a member of the community's dear loved one, like a parent, a cousin, etc. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, and then we pray for those who, and there, I don't know what it says in your book, those who bear fruit. Bear fruit is what it says in Greek. These are tithes. Does anybody know what a tithe is? Mm-hmm. What's a tithe?
Offering to the church.
Yeah. Tithe, it's the Old Testament
right.
word. So the word that translates, it's bear fruit, or mm-hmm. another word is offerings. Mm-hmm. And this is a very important word, offerings. I think sometimes, we think offering, this is a little bit out of my pocket. I'm offering this. And it's mm-hmm. It sounds very cheap. But real act and real history, this is not at all. It's a very liturgical word, offering. Let me explain. Remember Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. What did they do? Their first act of worship was what? An offering unto God. Okay. And we know the story got, rejection. It was a cheap offering. Mm-hmm. We know that Noah, Abraham, and Job all made burnt offerings to God even before he gave the law, gave the word. Okay. And wasn't, it's said that there's even an 11th commandment. You have the 10 commandments that are Jews, you have your oral laws. And they would say that this was the 11th commandment. Build an altar and sacrifice it on it, whole burnt offerings to the Lord, your sheep, your calves, etc. And that comes to Exodus. So God codified, okay, so Noah, Abraham, Job, made offerings without being told. So God codifies it there. This is what we do. We make offerings, okay? And like I said, so here, but it's a little bit different here. I mean, what kind of offering do we make here?
Money, time.
Good.
Services.
Yeah, that's very good. So, right, back in the old days, what was your main capital? Your cow. Your whatever. And so you would take and bring one and make an offering to God, a thanksgiving or a sin offering. I think that's the whole idea of what Christ died on the cross, right? No longer bulls, but that's what they did. So people would take part of their wealth and bring it, okay? And the idea is a tenth, okay? Your wealth was measured in livestock. So today, what's our wealth measured in? Our bank accounts, our income, everything else, okay? And it's another thing, too. And this is the gospel of Sunday. I don't know what I'm going to say this Sunday. I'm so far behind. I've read the scripture and thinking about it. Where your treasure is where your heart is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is your anchor. So, where your treasure is. So that means where you spend your time, mm-hmm. where you spend your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you spend your money is where your heart is. So it's where your mm-hmm. treasure. Think about what your hobbies are and everything else. The people you love. That's why we need to give alms. We need to love our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I always say that I need to get to the church to make sure my heart's in the church.
Yep.
Okay. So let me think about this though. Does God need our offerings? Yep. God said, do burnt offerings. Did he need Israel to make all those burnt offerings?
No,
they needed it because they needed to place their hearts in heaven. Okay. Mm-hmm. God, and this is a note I wrote. God requires these offerings in part because the Jews' heart had to be anchored in his faith, anchored in God. Okay. Mm-hmm.
In the UK, they still have tithe barns where they would bring a tenth of their grain mm-hmm. from the medieval ages. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Now, think about this. It would be like today, mm-hmm. if we do the collection, right?
Right.
Middle liturgy, if the parish council lit a bonfire in the middle of the church, and they took your tithes and threw them. Does God need that offering? No. We can't pay the bills without it. But does God need that?
No.
No, he receives it with the love that's given.
Right.
Do you see?
Yeah.
But we need to make an offering because we need to have our hearts in the kingdom. Okay. And, I will make a very clear argument. People said, it's really funny. Sometimes you get people give their tithe check and it'll be 321.27. Just add 10, what their tithe, their income was that week or that month, whatever it is. I'm pretty round guy. I always round up the next dollar, whatever. But, I try to
Right.
You know, I pretty much my income doesn't change. So it's pretty easy. You know, if I miss a Sunday, I'm right. traveling.
Yeah.
You know, next week I just double the check and leave it here. It's the spirit of it. So for some people, you know, especially, you know, younger people putting a life together, buying a house, everything else, it is a proportionally gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea, but it's that total commitment to Christ, whatever it may mean. So let's say, you know, especially, you know, Leanne and I were in college. We had no money. And we tithed because she made us tithe. I had no idea. We first got married and I was sitting there with the checkbook. I remember sitting there trying to get the kitchen table, a little tiny little table, trying to pay the bills. And then, you know, I wrote like a $10 check to church. And she said, what? She says, you know, she says, we pay that first. I said, but we don't have any money. She says, we'll never have money unless we take, you know, we
right.
do that first. Our first. And she taught me as soon as we got married. So I thought I was in charge of money. But true. And we tithe every day, our income, and God has always provided.
Yeah.
On a very poor income, I was able to still put two kids through college because God provided. You know the story about the church property I spoke about?
Yeah.
Isn't that God providing?
Yep.
Why? Because our community tithe and people in our church tithe. And God was faithful to us. I mean, it just all works that way.
I love that saying.
So, tithing was for the salvation. This offering, giving offerings, was for the salvation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And likewise, it's for our salvation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the liturgy, what do? We make the altar. We offer the blood of the sacrifice. Say, thine own, thine own. Mm-hmm. This thing. And the idea of taking the tithes during a time when the bread and wine's brought to connect in our minds, mm-hmm. our capitalist way that no longer agrarian, where they took the best bread and the best wine at the back of the church, it's there. And then the deacon says, yours if yours, we offer unto thee on behalf of all and for all. Okay. See if there's anything else I can say about that.
So,
yes.
Father Ted, we're starting to lead up to the epiclesis. And I noticed like in this litany now, we're saying, Lord, have mercy three times. So why are we increasing our tempo?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
You have to ask Father Jacob.
He's a liturgy nerd, I told.
Sounds nice.
No, I don't know why it's called the triple litany. I knew right. that.
Okay. I just didn't know.
We call it the triple litany.
Okay.
And usually, so this is more personal, it's more penitential to me, but that's why.
Okay.
You know, but you're the first person who's ever asked me why it's a triple litany.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I need to get on my knees and ask Father Schmemann. He knows everything.
Fervent supplications. I mean, fervent because some say three times being very fervent.
It's perfect because it's
right. It's becoming more intense, right? Like our prayers are becoming more intense. We're trying to become more spiritually prepared to receive the host. So, but I just thought it was interesting. Okay.
So anyhow, and then, O Lord, accept this fervent supplication, these fervent prayers your servants, and have mercy on us. Let me check our time. Have mercy on us. Send down your blessings upon us, thy bounties, for thy people awaits thy rich mercy, which comes from thee. And then the doxology.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do the litany for the catechism. Oh, I'm sorry. We do the litany for the departed, which is not here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not in your books. I don't think it's in your book, the litany for the departed. So it's not supposed to be done on Sundays, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I do it time to time when it's somebody who's very important or in community's past, because I know y'all ain't going to be here. And you know, if we were lived in a village where we all live nearby, so y'all need to come here Saturday so we can do prayer for this part first. But because I know not everyone's going to be gathered together, we do the litany for the departed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just me; other priests do the same exact thing. You know, good people's there. Basically, it's a litany from the funeral service. That's all it is. And so on Saturday, like two or three times or four times a year, there's Saturday is the departed that we do service and we can marry to depart. Saturday is the day of departed.
Mm-hmm.
When we do a funeral, I'm going to use this entree just a little bit to explain a funeral. People think the funeral is a special service. So like somebody sat down and wrote a song. It's all it is the morning service matins, which means morning service with the funeral prayers, the funeral petitions, the funeral hymns. That's all it is. So it's basically matin service with the funeral hymns. And so when someone passes, their tradition is, and this is what we do here, St. Justin's for a person who is a Eucharistic Orthodox Christian living the life, the fullness of life in the church, when they pass the evening before, we would have people gather together and visit with the family. And then we would have the funeral service. And the funeral service is all about asking God to forgive them, for us commending the person to the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. us asking God to forgive their sins. And what's really important to understand is God has already heard that prayer. Did I mention this here last week? Mm-hmm. God heard the prayer mm-hmm. my children said for me.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. we often ask God to forgive them the sins. And then in the evening, there's always a little, you know, gathering here, such fellowship, all just to visit, comfort the family. Then the next morning,